And welcome back to the final part of Northside Today here on Near FM. My name is Noel McGuinness, and more music on the way, but in studio now of Anthony Flynn, and he's the CEO of Inner City Helping Homeless. Hello, Anthony. How's things going with you?
Not too bad, busy day.
And indeed, now you have launched My Name Is, but before we talk about that a little bit, can we talk about the situation at the moment? Has it gotten any better at all?
No, if anything, it's got a hell of a lot worse, particularly last week, because, you know, through the storm last week, it was a pretty hectic week in regard to trying to get people off the streets. And I think one thing that was figured out from the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive is what we've been hollowing about for the last year or so is the demand and the amount of people that are actually out there on the streets that are not being recognised, they're not registered through the normal systems. We saw a major increase in the amount of people that that came in and were looking for shelter that wouldn't come in normally or would be entrenched homeless around the city. So over the last week we've seen the rough sleeper number go through the roof. It's something very, very serious. And then whilst we were in the cold hard face of the storm, we then got released the figures in regard to child homelessness and family homelessness.
So sorry, just interrupting you, when you were listening to the Taoiseach and other ministers last week in the cold, when what was going on, were they putting a bit of a spin on what you were saying?
Well, look, you know, we've come out this week. What we done was we reassessed what happened last week, what went right, what went wrong. You know, and this morning, this is my second interview of the day, and this morning we've come out and blatantly said that what happened in the Dáil last week was total and utter lies. You know, now whether the Taoiseach, his department, or the minister and his department were misinformed, that misinformation would have came from the Dublin Region Homeless Executive, and as they called their partners that they work with in the homeless executive. Unfortunately, the Dáil was misinformed, and the record needs to be straightened in the Dáil. You know, and we've made a point of writing in over the last couple of days for that record to be straightened. On one individual night that we were out, and I think it was the night that they actually said that there was 12 people on the streets, there was 47 people that were actually rough sleeping that night on the streets, you know. So there's a big difference between 12 and 47.
But also, can we talk about the people, what's going out there as well, about the reluctance of people to go into any sort of accommodation, the hostels and or whatever. I mean, the massive sports place they had, they didn't want to go in where there was bunk beds and stuff like that.
Well, you know, the issue, you know, last week was an emergency. You know, we'd crisis and red alert and all systems go. And, you know, at those times, you know, the likes of Catherine's to be brought online and the sports hall to be opened, you know, that was essential and that was needed. You know, from a day-to-day perspective and what we see on a daily basis within homeless services, you know, it's not acceptable that we should be putting people, grown men or women, into facilities with bunk beds, you know, or dormitory-style rooms. We've got to remember that many of these people that are refusing to go in are refusing to do so because they have their own personal issues, you know. And instead of treating instead of treating these people like sheep or cattle, we've got to treat them as individuals, and we've got to find out what those individual needs are. And a lot of people have issues in regard to security, substance abuse, the misuse of drugs within these facilities and these hostels, and that's been an ongoing issue for a long, long time. It goes back to Alan Kelly's era of as housing minister, when we stopped with wet and dry hostels, is what we call them, where we would have hostels that were suited to individuals that maybe had went through rehabilitation or detox, you know, and now all of a sudden we're in a situation where these hostels are back mixed, and there's individuals that don't want to go in, and they feel that their life is better spent living in a tent or living on the street stand. So that says a lot in regard to the safety. And if, you know, if we were looking at maybe 10 or 20 people that were refusing this or that had problems, you know, when we're looking at the 40s.
Can I just ask you the records as regards people that have to go into direct emergency accommodation? Are they segregated then? Well, I mean, you're not too bad, so you can go into a hotel. Well, no, you go into the hostel. How do they work it that way then?
People are all tarred with the one brush, and it's a case of you know, the system is the system. And, you know, instead of focusing on individual needs of those that are looking to access homeless services, everybody's given the same colour ticket, and it's you go in there and that's it. And I suppose last week, you know, the system was at total and utter boiling point, in so far as that, you know, emergency.
Can I just interrupt you? I mean, it's not done subtly in some way. I mean, like, I find it hard to believe that everyone is treated exactly the same.
Well,
I mean, if someone has a problem with drink and alcohol or like that, and these hotels, surely they're going to say...
But they won't be put into a hotel.
As that's you, what I'm trying to say. Well, person. How do they separate them?
Well, when we look at the only reason why you will go into a hotel is if you're in a family situation where you have children.
Okay.
So, when you know, there's two sides to the homeless situation, and that's obviously the family need and the individual need. And as individuals, these there's no segregation, there's no privacy in many of these units. You know, when you go in at night time, a lot of the units you can't access till after 10 or 11 o'clock at night. You're put back out at 7 o'clock in the morning. You're left walking the streets throughout the day, you know. And I know last week there was extra opening hours, and it would, you know, a lot of the units went 24 hours whilst the cold weather was in play. But, you know, we're back to the same. We're back to the norm this week insofar as people being put back out onto the streets when they leave the hostel in the morning. They're not allowed back in till you know, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And then many people are ringing through their free phone system in the morning looking for a bed where they haven't got a bed for a number of nights. They're working on a night-by-night basis, and you could be spending 4 or 5 hours a day on the phone just looking to get your bed for that night. So the system is actually chaotic.
So nothing's changed. I mean, no. we've listened to those stories for a couple of months now. And as regards the hubs and the pop-ups, as people are calling them now, you were saying there before you came on air that you're not giving any ready information about these. Any idea why not? Why
well,
not tell you?
See, what, what's
Prince
what's
is down the road. They're renovating an old factory there.
Sorry, what's happened is that we're looking at a situation now where many communities around the country have decided that not a my backyard attitude to having a hub in their community, you know. And I understand completely that communities, you know, small communities would have fears in regard to as soon as they hear there's a homeless hostel or there's a homeless facility opening within our area. And many people would have concerns in regard to who might be accessing those facilities and who might not. So, you know, engagement with the community is something that needs to be done, and that needs to be done by the homeless executive. And you know, if a hub is going to open in a certain area, you know, community leaders should be engaged, and we should be informing the community leaders of what exactly is going to happen, how it's going to happen, and what the time frame of that going to happen is. So what the executive have done is they fail now to let you know where these hubs are opening. They're just going to pop up on people's doorsteps, you know. And we're looking at the moment of 17 hubs being in operation across Dublin at the moment, and many of those hubs now are ran by private operators. And we saw yesterday a story in the Irish Times by Kitty Holland in regard to council are now no longer prioritising homeless families, you know, which is absolutely...
And what would be the criteria for the hubs or pop-ups, as they call them?
Well, what they've tried to do is close the hotel, stop the usage of hotels. So where we spent over 50 million euros or 53 million euros last year on hotel and B&B accommodation in Dublin. Just in Dublin. So that these are all private, again, you know, businesses that have earned money through the homeless, through the downfall. And the end to that then would be the hub. You know, let's open up the hub. We put them all into a hub. We warehouse all these people in hubs. And, you know, I've stated here, and it was on your own network going back last year, this is a form of direct provision. You know, and we went so far as to go and look into the private companies that are opening these hubs and operating these hubs.
So they're not like the ones they've built in Ballymun?
No. Ballymun is a cooperative housing facility. This is a communal living style facility that you go in, and there could be up to 50 families, you know, with two or three kids. Everybody uses the one kitchen. Everybody uses the one fridge. Everybody watches the one television, you know, and then you're put into a room then, one room with you and your three or four or whatever amount of kids.
Does that apply to them all across the board, or is this just a new... to me, that's something I've only heard of in the past couple of months now.
Well, it seems that it's you know, looking now, and particularly through the story that emerged yesterday in regard to homeless families no longer being prioritised by Dublin City Council, it seems that this was a long-term plan. You know, this plan didn't just crop up overnight. So we've seen the ending of the hotels. The DCC don't want to be spending the money on hotels anymore. The hubs are in operation. The people that are running the hubs are profiteering from the fact that the hubs are in operation, and we're not talking, you know, small amounts of money. We're talking a couple of mil on each hub, and then the renovation factors. You know, one individual hub that opened not too long ago.
So who's paying for the renovation?
Well,
if they're privately owned, who's paying for
them? DCC have paid for renovations in one individual hub that opened not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and a major amount of money was pumped into this hub on a 4-year, 9-month lease, and the operator will get his building back after 4 years, 9 months. and it's a brand new building, okay. And there's a couple of million euros being spent, and then whilst that lease is in operation, that operator is going to receive money every month from DCC in regard to the renting of that building or the lease period on that building as well. So, you know, it's round and round in circles in so far as money is concerned.
Okay.
But we don't seem to have a long-term objective in regard to ending the situation. What we seem to be doing is we seem to be extending the time period and the frame that people are going to be there. And instead of closing down these facilities and you know, decreasing them and building social housing, mm-hmm. what we're actually doing is we're increasing these facilities and we're taking more.
And I suppose a lot of people, I mean, I'm as flummoxed as most of the people that's out there. I mean, they haven't built social housing, I don't know, in 30, 40 years. And they used to, all the time, you know, that was the great thing about the government. No matter what else they did, we always had a good health system and up to the 70s or whatever, mm-hmm. and then it just seemed to fall apart. But I think what's flummoxing people is the amount of money that was spent in hotels and all the sort of carry
amazing.
On.
It's amazing. And you know, we're not really getting a proper breakdown the
same,
of figure.
And the same amount would build lots and lots of social housing. And then the amount of, we talked about it before you came in there as well, the empty buildings that's lying around, mm-hmm. many of them around here as well.
You know, we haven't utilised NAMA at all in regard to, and NAMA was set up, you know, and it was supposed to contribute to society, you know, with all the bad debts and bad loans that were there, mm-hmm. And, you know, pump back into to the social care end of things, I suppose.
But and they have the property as well.
And, yeah, and we haven't utilised NAMA whatsoever. You know, the minister has the power to do so and failed to do. What we've looked at again, again, is more profiteering from companies and individuals.
It's any way that to yourself and all the other agencies like Peter McFerry and mm-hmm. everyone Focus and everybody just get together and say, look, as one unit, mm-hmm. this is it now.
I suppose what's tried to be done is, you know, the National Housing and Homeless Coalition over the last couple of months has tried to bring people together in regard to the political parties and the NGOs and the grassroots groups on the ground, you know, and they're working at a big demonstration in April or towards that big demonstration in April. But you know, homelessness is an industry now, Noel. It's far from what it was in the charitable mm-hmm. sector that it was, you know, in the 80s or even in the 70s or so forth. It's a case now of homelessness is making an awful lot of money. You know, there's 900 people employed in four of the big organisations that operate homeless services across the country. You know, mm-hmm. so if you look at the amount of homeless organisations, so 70-odd homeless organisations up and down Ireland, mm-hmm. all of those, or most of those, receiving government grants or you know, are being paid for by the department and obviously their own donation base that's there. So it's worth a lot of money to a lot of people, you mm-hmm. know. So if homelessness was to end tomorrow, which, you know, I'd love so, because I know
they're getting grants, but it doesn't negate the work that they do.
It doesn't. But again,
because they never would have enough to solve the problem. They're doing the best that they can, of course. I'm just wondering, as one unit, if everyone got together as one unit and one body. As you said, if you're going to have a demonstration, if you had all the people from all the agencies alone, mm-hmm. and the supporters of them, you'd have a lot of people on the streets.
There's been multiple demonstrations that have been called over the last 2 years, and I suppose what we seem to have done now is allowed this to become socially acceptable, where it's a case of, you know, there's no more outrage at the fact that these figures are being produced month on month. You know, if we look at January's figures, you know, January's figures are up 6% on the month before. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very big amount. 6% might sound low, but in regard to our population, mm-hmm. 6% is a very, very big figure to be up on the month before. It's up 29% January's figure on last January. You know, mm-hmm. we're looking at 188 children through January that were made homeless just in that month. There's over 517 people made homeless through January. There's 109 families made homeless through January. You know, these are shocking figures.
Is this the reason why you're calling this campaign My Name Is, to put a name and a face to the people, rather, as you said, like, it doesn't seem to have the impact.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, I suppose My Name Is.
It's shocking to think to an extent when you think of the water charges and the whole.
And the feed on the street.
I mean, thousands and thousands of people mm-hmm. over a period of 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's raising its ugly head again. And a lot of people are saying this is all bogus now. They're using the bad weather as a segue to bring them back in. So that's mm-hmm. probably for another argument, some other. But that's what I've heard on the street. But isn't it amazing that the same thing hasn't come out with people. Is that the reason why you have this campaign?
You see, when we look at My Name Is put a face to child homelessness. You know, child homelessness is the fastest increasing sector of homelessness that we're looking at the moment. You know, and when we look at 188 children being made homeless through January and nothing being done about that, and it being acceptable for the fact that we're allowing children to grow up in B&Bs and hotels and one room and not having a back garden or not being able to go out on the road and kick a football up and down the road with their friends. You know, it's a shocking situation that we seem to be allowing to become socially acceptable. So we put a face to child homelessness. You know, we're given the raw entity in regard to what's going on. We're taking the wording from the children, you know, and putting that wording out there, whether it be through social media, you know. And when we had, I saw one post over the last week where young Aaron said that he couldn't go out and kick a football with his friends, and his mammy cries at night, you know, because him and his two brothers and sisters and his mother are living in a one room facility in a hotel in Dublin. You know, there's four of them in one room. And, you know, the My Name Is campaign has, I suppose, thrived, and it's caught great attention from the public over the last number of months. You know, we were up and down the country.
Is this all being done on Facebook?
This is all being done between Facebook and Twitter. It's a social media campaign. You know, but we took to the streets with it. We were in Waterford, we were in Wicklow, we were in Wexford, we were in Cork with the campaign over the last number of months. And I suppose public have started to actually see what's going on within. You know, when you look at homeless, or you say the word homeless, or who is homeless? You know, people generally think of a male, you know, in his 50s, maybe someone sitting with a cup or a sleeping bag, someone that has a substance abuse issue, you know. That's not the demographic of homeless that needs to be portrayed.
Well, certainly not anymore, no.
No, you know, there's a different demographic. You know, there's over 3,500 children that are homeless now at the moment. You know, that's a very, very big chunk of the whole homeless sector to be homeless. And the fact that
I don't know whether it's coincidental as well, but I did hear someone talking the other day about sometimes an individual comes on the TV that's in emergency housing or the hotel or whatever, and maybe comes on and spotlighted, and within a couple of months they're housed. You know, this sort of thing that has happened with one or two single mothers, that was the examples that were given. So if they can do that, is that to take the spotlight off what's going on around? Because it has the opposite effect, because it sort of makes people think that everything's fine.
They certainly don't want anybody to be out there and loud, you know. And I'd encourage anybody out there that is homeless to make contact with us, with our office in Ambien Street, with the My Name Is campaign, for advocacy and support on their behalf, because we will go and we will advocate on behalf of that family that may be homeless. And, you know, what the government, or certainly the DRHE, don't want is any individual being out there and loud in regard to the homeless situation. You know, you need to keep quiet and you need to sit in that corner and you need to do as you're told, and you'll be housed when we tell you you'll be housed. And the problem is that these people are not going to be housed, because we haven't got enough social housing built across the country to facilitate the people that are on social housing waiting lists and on homeless waiting lists, you know.
Okay, so tell me what you want to do now with this campaign, how you want people to help you now, and it's up there.
Well, you know, if people can log online, they can check us out through our website, ICHH.ie. They can look at, you know, hashtag My Name Is on Twitter, or My Name Campaign on Facebook, you know. And, you know, I'd certainly again to reiterate, to encourage families that are out there that feel that they're in these units and have no support, to get in touch with us. You know, we've a marvellous setup. There's a new family support unit being opened down at the moment down in our head office in 72 Ambien Street, and that unit is dedicated to supporting, be linked with the My Name Is campaign, dedicated to supporting individuals that are experiencing homelessness and giving them the right advice. You know, information is key. You know, when you become homeless, you get very, very little information from the sector as a whole, you know. So,
well, I'm going to ask you an obvious question as well, that I've heard people talking. For instance, a young couple, say married a year, but they're in rented accommodation at the moment. It's getting harder and harder, and maybe they've had a child. Is it a waste of time to put your name on the housing list?
At this moment in time, I'd say yes, it is, because you know, and you
won't.
That's
rather negative now, isn't it?
Well, you won't get an awful lot of CEOs that will say that, but you know, I'm not here to brush Aton over with a coat of paint. It's the way it is. You know, at this moment in time, there's no social housing being built. And unless we start building social housing, if the 2020 plan for Rebuild Ireland has already failed, all right, we spoke before we come on air about the 2040 plan, all right, that's way down the line, too far down the line to be looking at.
Excuse me for laughing, but
the 2020 Rebuild Ireland plan was doomed to fail from the start, you know, and it still hasn't been reproduced properly. Anyway, but the fact of the matter is that unless there's bricks being put in the ground and social housing is going to be built, people that are on the social housing, you know, we've people that are on social housing wait list 12 years, which is ridiculous.
Well, I don't know how, just to get back to the 2020 and 2040, I don't know how any government would have the arrogance to get up there and say what they're going to do and what's going to happen in 40 years' time. When you know each one is given four, if they're lucky, they might get eight. I mean, to me, that was pure arrogance and spin. And I'm surprised the people even thought about it. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they're all laughing at it the way I was.
But look, what we see is, you know, and the 2020 plan in particular, is that we're pushing the over-reliance on the private market, where we have too many people. You know, we haven't got enough supply, but we've lots of demand. And the more we have demand, the higher prices are going to go. And instead of building social housing, what we're doing is we're spending nearly €1 billion now on the housing assistance payment scheme, which is totally and utterly flawed, because what that's doing is that's actually supporting the private market. Okay. You know, and we're basically paying landlords money for no security of tenure within these units.
Okay, Anthony, well, I'll get all the details of you now, but I will sort of disagree with you. I think that if anyone's out there, anyone that is eligible should put a name on the housing list, because that really lets them know. I mean, it's obvious in front of you, but if people keep going in every week and putting a name on the housing list that's eligible to be on the housing list, you'd see the numbers climbing and climbing.
We've over 100,000 at the moment.
I know, but it doesn't matter. It'll go up to 200,000, but it stabs them in the eye each time that someone goes in and puts the name down. So I disagree with you on that. I think that anyone that's eligible should put the name down. And give us the idea of the campaign again, how people can help out in any way. And you're saying there's going to be a big demonstration?
National Housing Homeless Coalition have called for a big demonstration on the 7th of April. So that, you know, that's bringing community, grassroots, NGOs, the political sector together for a mass demonstration in Dublin on that date. Again, anybody that wants to get involved with us, check out the website, zoichh.ie. You know, volunteering and stuff like that is all there on the website. And the My Name Is campaign, My Name campaign on Facebook, or My Name Is on Twitter. You know, and we're fairly active there as well. And you can see what's going on day to day from there.
Okay. Listen, congratulations on all the great work that you do all the time anyway. And thank you very much for that. That's Anthony Flynn, CEO of Inner City Helping Homelessness. Are you optimistic at all? I find it very hard to be optimistic.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're
when I see the arrogance of the government.
Sometimes you get a bit deflated with it and all, you know. But I mean,
you talked about sort of indifference. I was just sort of quick headline on my way into work this morning. Mm-hmm. You were saying how people maybe become a little bit immune, and I just saw about corruption and the cops and the way things are going with that and what's happened over the years. And you think about the governments and the subsequent governments and all that's carried on and all the corruption as well, and you sort of go,
Have we
become immune altogether to everything? We just say, sure, that's the way they are.
Just the way it is.
Just the way
it is. But it's not acceptable.
No. We should. We'll have to. Maybe with the demonstration, things will change in the next couple of months, just to get it out there. Anyway, Anthony, thanks very much for talking to us.